A reading from the Gospel according to John. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then, his disciples came, but they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see who the man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the gospel of grace.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, good morning. Can you hear me? In the back, can you hear me? All right. Nothing like a sermon about finding and using your voice on a day that you might not be able to hear my voice. Thanks to everyone trying to make this work. When I was young and growing up as a child, I was very shy. I was timid and hesitant, terrified of getting in trouble or saying the wrong thing and then being embarrassed. Because of this, I didn't ask many questions. I tried to hide my mistakes, and I lived with a certain amount of fear that I think caused me to miss out on some important lessons. Lessons that would have led to using my voice more boldly. A memory sticks out in my mind of how my mother helped me learn how to use my voice. Now, this was in the olden days, before online ordering and email. Usually when one wanted to order something or needed something, one would have to speak to another human voice on the phone. You can imagine I did not like to do this, but my mother made me. Whenever I needed something ordered or a question answered, she would help me know what to say, but she would hand me the phone and make me do the talking. And you can imagine I hated this, so what did I do? The very same thing to my own children. This was a simple thing, but these small lessons helped me to practice using my voice. Something tells me that the Samaritan woman in our gospel story today was much different than me as a child. I imagine her as a child asking incessant questions and whose curiosity might have exasperated her parents. In her first encounter with Jesus at the Samaritan city of Sychar, she's shocked that he's asking her for something. But instead of just saying, yes, sir, and keeping her head down, which is something I might have done, she says, hey, wait a minute. What's happening here? Why are you, a Jew, asking me a question as a Samaritan woman? And instead of chiding her for questioning him, Jesus engages her and welcomes the conversation. And in doing so, Jesus is breaking two major boundaries between the chosen people and rejected people, and between male and female. A Jewish man did not converse with a woman, and Jews did not have contact with Samaritans for fear of ritual contamination. But Jesus is thirsty. And she has a water jar. He needs a cold drink, which she can provide. But more important, he needs her voice to be a witness for a message he wants spoken. As Jesus tells her about living water that will forever satisfy, she's excited and continues to clarify, "How do I get this living water?" When Jesus reveals that he knows her past, she doesn't get offended or defensive. Instead, she's amazed at his ability to fully see her. Now, I think it's important to note some commentaries caution us not to assume wrongdoing on her part because of her past. Jesus says nothing about her sin, nor does he offer her forgiveness. There could have been many reasons for her marital history that were not in her control. Perhaps this has been interpreted through patriarchal eyes for many years. But regardless, this woman doesn't worry about what she has done right or wrong in her past. She doesn't get caught up in self-criticism. She stays open to learning and growing and hearing what this stranger has to say. Jesus reveals to her that a new world is coming. In their current day, Samaritans and Jews held deep animosity for one another. One reason being that they disagreed on the location in which God was to be worshiped. Jesus says, the hour is coming when God will be worshiped in spirit and in truth, not confined to a location. And because of her excitement and curiosity, she's the first person in this gospel where Jesus reveals who he is. I am the Messiah. And then we get to witness her voice at its fullest potential. She becomes his disciple. She runs. She leaves her water jar behind, and she goes to tell the people in the city all about him. She doesn't hide that he knew her past. She proclaims, he knows all I've ever done. She isn't self-conscious or nervous. She is strong and brave in her proclamation. She also isn't certain. She says to the people, he couldn't be the Messiah, could he? But she doesn't let her doubt keep her from speaking out. She uses her voice to tell them all about Jesus. This unnamed Samaritan woman is an inspiration to all of us, and aptly to be remembered on this day in particular. International Women's Day, observed annually on March 8th, celebrates the achievements of women in the advancement of gender equality. For over a century, generations have built on the courage of those who have come before them, pushing boundaries and redefining what's possible. And while this day celebrates the progress of amazing women who have used their voices for change, it also asks all of us to commit to continue to use our voices to create change for gender equality. We have not arrived. Women's voices are still being silenced in many ways. False narratives have been perpetuated throughout the centuries to keep the domination of men in our system of hierarchy. Female stereotypes, such as not being smart enough or being too emotional, might cloud perspectives and can even come to be believed by women ourselves. Culturally, women have been expected to behave in certain ways. Be polite, be feminine, nice, and for sure, don't come on too strong. And as one reporter was recently criticized, we must make sure we smile enough. And when women do use their voice, tragically, they are often not believed. Sexual harassment and assault victims muster incredible amounts of courage to tell their stories. They experience shame and trauma from speaking out. And as we are experiencing in real time, so often they aren't believed, or the perpetrators aren't brought to justice. It's understandable why many women do not use their voice to tell about what has unjustly or violently happened to them. In addition to this, the website for International Women's Day reminds us that women on the whole still make less money than men, are less represented in fields such as science or engineering or politics. This is evidenced in how we still have yet to see the first female president of the United States. And discouragingly, with the current federal administration's leadership and example in our country, it seems we are moving backwards in many of these instances of inequality. In 1928, women were finally given the right to vote. And in almost 100 years later, in 2026, with the possible passing of the SAVE Act, it could become much harder for many women to vote. And yet, here in this gospel story, we meet Jesus in this conversation with this woman at this well, and we can all take a deep breath. Because we hear the voice of Jesus, and what we hear him saying is that these boundaries are meaningless. They only get in the way of his message of calling all people to follow him. This woman, often seen as less than, he says, no, she's made in God's image. This Samaritan, a person from an ethnic group despised and lied about by his own people, he also says, no, is made in God's image. This Samaritan woman is a necessary part of God's saving work in the world. To this Samaritan woman, Jesus offers her the living water that will fill her up with what she really needs. He celebrates her curiosity by making her the first person to proclaim his true identity, and he empowers her to use her voice to tell others about who he is. And because of her, this whole city of Samaritans come to believe that he is the Savior of the world. The wise women in my life who are older than me challenge me to think about how I will continue to gain wisdom as I get older. I've been thinking about that a lot this year as I have had a milestone birthday. And while I have come a long way in being able to use my voice more courageously since I was a girl, I know I still have some transformation to make with God's help. I still struggle with false narratives. Am I smart enough? Will I say the wrong thing and be embarrassed? Is it best to just keep quiet? Often I feel the need to fit the stereotype of being nice and polite so that I don't upset anyone or cause any conflict. But I'm realizing more and more that now isn't the time for politeness. Now is the time to use my voice for honesty. Many of us recently heard a speaker at the FaithWorks conference in Austin, Robert P. Jones, author of several books, including White Too Long. One of his quotes stuck with me. In talking about our current state of democracy, he told us that right now, unity is not the goal. Truth, love, and justice are the goals. He reminded us that as we work for the morality of our nation to survive, it will not look like politeness. It will take some divisiveness because resistance to domination makes some people mad. In speaking for truth and justice, one must use their voice to speak out against what will not be tolerated, and to speak up for God's will. It isn't about being nice, but speaking truth. He inspires me to make this bold statement. The equal empowerment of women is God's will. And any entity which teaches otherwise is simply contributing to a culture where women's voices are continued to be silenced. Story after story of Jesus's encounters with the women in the Gospels supports this statement, including this wonderful story of the woman with the water jar. I wonder, how is it going for you to find and use your voice? Our voices are developed by so many factors: our personality, our gender, our background, ethnicity, education, and so on. Clearly, I'm different from this outspoken woman at the well, but we both have a story to tell, and we'll tell it in different ways. Just as you and I will use our voice in different ways as we proclaim the messages that God wants us to convey. Jesus is thirsting for his message of God's new kingdom of love to get told. And we are the ones holding the water jar. He needs what we have to offer. We also need practice. We need to seek out opportunities to strengthen our voice, even if it causes some discomfort. Sometimes these opportunities might seem small, like speaking to another human voice on the phone. But even small steps bring growth. Ask the question. Say out loud what you need. Show up at a protest you care about. Start the conversation. Gather a group of diverse people together. Challenge a friend who says something you don't agree with. Tell your story. Many of us will still struggle with the boundaries we've been taught, both those that we place on ourselves and those that the world tries to place on us. But Jesus calls us to believe a different truth. You are empowered to speak. You, whatever you think defines you, Jesus needs your voice. Can you imagine being a voice for a different future? To join with the Spirit of Christ in creating a world where we get to redefine what's possible? A world where categories don't matter and God's Spirit is experienced in all places by all people. Jesus assures us that with his living water gushing up within us, our tongues are loosed and our fears are washed away. We have a long way to go to live into God's will for this world, one where all people are heard and all voices matter. But Jesus makes it clear that he needs our voice. We each have our own water jar to carry, and he is looking at us to offer up some of his living water. Amen.